we present the News Quiz with your chairman, Simon Hoggart.
Hello and welcome to the News Quiz. We start with an advert in the window of a local Gosport butcher's shop, read by Harriet Cass.
Exotic game and meat evening. Introductory offers on ostrich, kangaroo, wild duck, venison, pheasant and quail. And for the kids, we have Steve-O the Magic Clown.
Thanks to Steve Tracy for spotting that. Let's meet the teams, please. Welcome first on my right, Andy Hamilton and newcomer, comedian Andy Parsons. Opposite them on my left, Alan Corran and Jeremy Hardy. Andy Hamilton, the traditional easy story for you. Why are the latest pension proposals another case of the old story?
Yeah, well, this is the Turner Report, and apparently everyone's going to have to work till they're 70, which will be a bit of a problem for the lap dancing industry, I think. But the Turner Report has come out, and basically it's taken 3 years, and Gordon Brown's handed it back and said that's rubbish. Because basically Turner is proposing that we retire later, but then get a more generous pension, and Gordon Brown thinks that we shouldn't get a more generous pension and that it should be awarded to us posthumously.
I'm horrified to hear you mocking the contribution of the lap community to the dance of this country. Santa's elves have made a big difference. Part of our nation's diversity. I've made provision.
And the Vatican this week got rid of limbo, you saw. Yeah, it's a whole area of Jamaicans thrown out of work, whatever age they are.
Limbo sounds good. Apparently, if you're unbaptised, if you're a Catholic, if you've not been baptised, you go to limbo, which sounds quite jolly, doesn't it? But it's not. It's a state of nothingness between heaven and hell where souls just hover listening to Dido.
But is there a...
I've made provision for my old age. I've decided that I do want to be a burden to people. Very much so, because people have been a pain in the backside to me all my life, and I want that backside wiped by them in my twilight.
I think I should come in here and say something about pensions as the younger member of the thing.
How old are you, Andy Parsons?
Slightly younger than you. I don't want to go into the details, obviously.
Has your bath got a door in the side?
Well, it's the latest report on pension reform, recommending increased pensions at a price of working into your late 60s. It's been painstakingly put together over several years by a team led by former CBI Director Lord Turner and put to sleep in 2 seconds by a team led by Gordon Brown. The proposals do nothing to sort out the difficulties faced by women in relation to the state pension. For the average young woman today, the best advice for obtaining a secure financial future is still to marry a millionaire with a heart condition. Andy Parsons, welcome to the News Quiz.
Thank you very much.
Who's been very cagey about the withdrawal method this week?
I think this might be Mr. George W.
It is.
Who basically produced a 35-page document entitled, I think, National Strategy for Victory in Iraq, which apparently came as a surprise to him because he thought he'd won back in 2003. He has said he's very pleased with the fledgling democracy in Iraq, along with Tony Blair. There were apparently a few places that they confessed weren't able to vote due to the security situation. Such pockets included Baghdad, Tikrit, Mosul and Fallujah. Now, I don't know about you, but that was everywhere that I'd heard of in Iraq.
They are handing over now, the Americans. Already the Iraqi army has taken over much of the torture that the Americans used to do, so that's good.
Is that a franchise, do you think? Is that...
It's going to be everywhere before Christmas.
George Bush has outlined America's plan for withdrawing troops from Iraq with a 35-page document entitled National Strategy for Victory in Iraq. Bush insisted the government would settle for nothing less than a complete victory in Iraq, which should happen just as soon as Jeb Bush becomes chief returning officer for Baghdad. And this is perfectly true. The Pentagon has been paying, it turns out, Iraqi newspapers to print good news stories. The scam came to light after a Baghdad Times profile of Edith Morley, age 73, of Truro, who won second prize for her delicious gooseberry jam. 2 points all round. Jeremy, why is Britain's current status going to become cooler?
I don't understand this properly. It's to do with global warming is making Britain cold. How unfair is that? It's like we're getting colder because the ice things are melting. Have you seen March of the Penguins? That is so cool. But except they shouldn't have got... they shouldn't have got Morgan Freeman. It should be someone like Barry White. Or Isaac. And then penguins, they want some loving on the app. No, it's the cold bits, at the top and the bottom of the world, are the frozen bits. And because of global warming, they're melting, which is better.
No,
with me.
It isn't. That.
No, it isn't. It isn't.
It's current.
Dad.
He used the word current.
Yeah, but hold on. Hold on.
You know
hold
what on. He's driving at.
Hold
you
on.
Know Simon.
Hold
You've been
on.
Working for Simon
hold
all
on.
These years.
Father, will
You've
you
got to
just
to the current. You haven't mentioned Gulfstream. These are significant things.
Well, I don't understand why the Gulfstream isn't in the Gulf.
I hate it when people abuse meteorology.
You can listen to a repeat of Science Today.
Shut up! We're talking. Wait, Specky, we're having fun. Oh, you've got all night to read that. You can take it home with you and read it on your own. We're enjoying us. We're trying to solve in a scientific, empirical way why it is that the sea is full of jobbies.
But this whole idea of Britain getting colder is very worrying. Is it? I was thinking the problem with British sport is often the weather. We're not necessarily so good at the summer sports because we never get quite enough sunshine, and we're not so good at the winter sports necessarily because we never get quite enough snow. We need to find sports where the optimum climate is a bit of drizzle. Something like bringing in the washing.
Gulf Stream currents that warm Britain have weakened dramatically, according to findings from the National Oceanography Research Centre in Southampton, meaning we could soon have temperatures as cold as Canada and, like Ben, become God's frozen people. If research about the temperature is correct, Britain could lose 1 degree over the next 20 years. And my vote is for media studies. Findings show that Europe's central heating system is breaking down. An engineer will soon be out to see Europe in a couple of months before rubbing his chin and saying, "What carboy put this in 19 languages?
Was that an accent you just did, Simon?
No, it wasn't. Shut up. 2 points to Jeremy.
Simon Hoggart, the man of a voice.
I closed my eyes and Dick Van Dyke was in the room.
Alan, listen to this. Alan, why have Navy Larks initiated an inquiry?
Well, it's a bit of a broad extension, but the Marines do fall under the Navy, although they have a general. They have the only general of Marines. I rather like those pixelated pictures, because there couldn't have been a man watching who didn't try to measure the length of the little squares to see how well-equipped our Marines were.
They said it was just a barbecue that had got out of hand, and I thought, I've been out of hand at a barbecue. I've had one too many, maybe dropped a sausage in the coal, got a bit carried away with the lighter fluid, or ruined the conversation by saying something like, could we stop talking about property now, because it has been 4 hours. apart from that one barbecue where Oliver Reed and Alan Bates turned up, never have I seen naked men wrestling on any patio under my jurisdiction.
The Royal Marines, they said that they have a zero tolerance towards bullying in the Royal Marines, and anybody caught bullying will be severely punished. I was wondering exactly how will they be severely punished?
Be dressed as Julie Andrews and sodomised with a loofah.
We should
make men of them.
We shouldn't be hypocritical about it because, let's face it, in most male-dominated institutions, there have always been bullying rituals like, you know, Coopers used to roll apprentices in a barrel. And I remember when I started on this show... no, seriously, I think it was in the 80s, Alan and Richard Ingram stripped me naked and beat me with copies of Punch. I remember that.
This is a secretly filmed video of two Royal Marines wearing nothing but rubber mats on their arms, fighting each other in a brutal initiation ceremony. The Conservative Party spokesman for Homeland Security, Patrick Mercer, himself a former officer, admittedly he had witnessed a naked beating once before. But that was during Mrs. Thatcher's 84 cabinet reshuffle. Everybody at the end of round one has 4 points. And we start round two with a news item from the Hockwell Village magazine.
Robert Smith has asked me to draw your attention to the raffle tickets on sale in aid of the Unmarried Mothers Society, for whom he is directly responsible.
Thanks to Gene Dury for spotting that. Andy Parsons, which peer has been accused of pooping his old party?
Ah, well, I think this is Mr. Geoffrey Archer, who is, I believe, trying to rejoin the Conservative Party.
He also said that if he can't get back into politics, he's just going to step up his writing. So I think we really want him to get back into politics. I can remember the first time I ever read a line written by Geoffrey Archer, and this woman character was saying, she said, "For one of the most promising young QCs in the country, you're terribly shy with women." And I fell off the toilet, I tell you.
It's the man who's made more comebacks than status quo, the liar, fraud and alleged novelist Geoffrey Archer, who's thrown the Tories into confusion by attempting to rejoin their party. Jeremy, listen to this.
I was gonna clean my room until I got high. I was gonna get up and find the broom, but then I got high. My room is still messed up, and I know why.
Why, man?
Yeah, because I got high. Because I got high.
Jeremy, who has got a high opinion of the Home Secretary?
There's a guideline on how to tell if somebody is dealing drugs. The amount of drugs on the person should be a signal as to whether they are selling or not. I live in South London. The best way of knowing whether somebody is selling drugs is whether they are selling drugs. In fact, I want to do some guerrilla theatre where I get a skunk in a cage and stand outside the Ritzy Cinema in Brixton, and as people walk past saying, "Skunk." It's a guideline on how much a person can be carrying before they are a dealer, whether it's got price labels on it, whether they've got a swipe machine.
Or a loyalty card.
Apparently, the current trend amongst young people is to have an upper followed by a downer straight away just to take the edge off it. That would be like having a Red Bull and then having a Horlicks straight away afterwards.
Is there such a thing as a middler? Because I'd quite like one of those. I think anything that will, you know, actively not really change my state of mind.
But you're just so innocent about drugs. I mean, Andy actually still believes uppers and downers are things that blokes on the streets sell. The blokes on my street.
Hello, Governor. Yes. Would you like some illegal narcotics? Well, do you know, I hadn't thought of it, you seem a very persuasive salesman. Do you know, I think I might venture into this nether world of addiction.
Well, I used to live just next to All Saints Road, and what I remember about the drug pushers there was they would approach you and say, you know, "Do you want a score or whatever?" And when you said no, they'd say, "Do you want some help carrying your shopping?"
Under new Home Office proposals, anyone caught carrying up to 500 cannabis joints will be able to claim it's for their personal use. 4 ounces of cannabis resin can produce 500 light joints, 250 strong joints, or roughly 6 dozen delicious hash brownies for the Whitney Women's Institute Christmas Fair. 2 points to Jeremy. Alan, who's been accused of robbing the poor to give to the rich?
This is Blair giving up our rebate because of the Estonians and Latvians and those strange people that produce nothing.
Stop pretending to be right-wing, old trot. You've carved out a niche for yourself.
I didn't understand that thing about Robin, not understanding quote, Robin Hood, which is the only thing I know about.
Somebody with a foreign name.
On the A3 as you go through Guildford.
Someone called...
What else was it? Wasn't that Kevin Costner and Errol Flynn desperate to get into tights? You know, a lot of people were desperate to get into Errol Flynn's tights. Great thing about his autobiography is that he actually slept with Clark Gable.
Did he?
And can we watch Gone with the Wind now without thinking of Clark Gable running up the staircase, holding Errol Flynn? And their two moustaches enmeshing at the top. Really, it seems to be a long way from Estonia, but there is some deal being done with the Common Agricultural Policy as well, but the French won't allow it to be interfered with.
Chirac, he's still in a mood, isn't he, about the French voting no for the EU constitution, which he was hoping would be a yes. And, of course, now, because of that, we're not actually going to get a vote on the EU constitution. You'd have thought that New Labour would have given us a vote on the constitution. Nothing you'd have thought would have helped a British yes vote than the French voting no. People in Britain going, what, the French have voted no? I must have another look at this constitution. It must have some merit of which I was completely unaware.
Tony Blair has been accused of acting like a modern-day sheriff of Nottingham by the president of the European Commission, José Manuel Barroso, as he embarked on a diplomatic tour to persuade the poorest countries in the EU to accept less funding so that Britain can keep its rebate. Tony Blair hopes he can still broker a deal that will maintain the status quo. Britain will keep its rebate and a tone-deaf, cross-dressing Latvian will win Eurovision. At the end of round two, everybody has 8 points. And before we start round three, here's an offer from the Harrow Leader.
Massive warehouse stock clearance sale. Quality furniture, including fine collectible grandfather cocks. All 40% off.
Thanks to B. Jackson for that. Andy Hamilton, who's been showing off the new face of surgical science?
You know what? I'm fed up with the fact that I get all the medical stories. This is, you can just pitch them in the production office. Give it to the hypochondriac. Go on, go on. This is an advance in medicine that in France, was it? A lady who had quite severe facial injuries, they've grafted a new face onto her, sort of, I think it's mouth and nose. And on the news, this prompted a rather vulgar outburst of cheap graphics, where they said, here is a photograph of the doctor, and here is a photograph of his assistant. But if he were to incur terrible facial injuries, they could graft it, and they did this thing of sliding the face across. And you thought, I'm sure it's more complicated than that.
A team of French surgeons led by Professor Jean-Michel Dubénard and Professor Bernard de Vauchel have carried out the world's first face transplant at the Amiens Hospital in northern France. The UK won't be left behind. A team of British facial surgeons is already on 24-hour standby, waiting for Anne Robinson to try that wink of hers one time too many. Andy Parsons, listen to this.
I like big butts and I cannot lie. You other brothers can't deny. In your face, you get sprung. Wanna pull up
top, you that... I'm sure you don't need a question.
I think it's to do with us all having bigger bottoms now, and the idea that the average needle isn't quite big enough to penetrate. Some people in the audience appear to be ahead of me here. And so they're going to have longer needles now. So if you are nervous of needles, eat less pies. That's basically...
Fewer pies, Andy. This is Radio 4, after all.
People's bottoms are becoming so big that injections aren't reaching the muscles, according to a new study by the Radiological Society of North America. If this continues, there will be only two solutions, longer needles or direct injection into cheeseburgers. Jeremy, why is there nothing new about men today?
Apparently, in the 1950s, people spent more time with their children, even though they'd all been recently killed in the war.
Problem is that the merchant bankers...
Is that rhyming?
...are bringing in... ...bringing in prostitutes from Latvia and forcing them to work as nannies once they've got here. That's it isn't an easy life.
Actually, when you're short of childcare, prostitutes are your best bet because they're on every corner in Streatham.
I'm just thinking of the wonderful publicity we're going to get when they publish a story. Jeremy Hardy urges that child-rearing should be done by prostitutes.
A new survey has revealed the idea of the new man who takes equal responsibility for his children is in fact a myth. Michael Jackson is quite literally the only entirely new man in the world. But he's not allowed anywhere near children. Alan, who didn't need to brush up their chat-up lines?
I really don't know, Simon. Brush up their chat-up?
Brush up, yes. Think of paintbrush. Do you know?
Well, I do, because it was rubbish, the story. And I got very angry about it.
This is not about Picasso being Randy.
Yes.
Well, why didn't you say so?
The way the game works is I ask the questions.
It wasn't just artists, it was pianists as well.
Can you call the police? This is turning into a domestic. But it was also science. It was supposedly they interviewed loads of artists. Yeah, and they said, are you sexually very active? Do you have lots of partners? And the artists and the writers and people said, yes, I do. Isn't that funny? That's because I'm a creative genius. The whole point about creative people is they make stuff up. That is why they are creative. So you don't, but you know, you might just as well believe Jeffrey Archer's statistics on how many men. And Picasso, I never believed that he pulled lots of women, because what did he say to them? He said, you know, come and be a model and I'll paint you. And the woman's going to think, oh yeah, I'm going to have a triangular nose and four eyes. No, thank you.
But he'd probably give her one right in the cello, wouldn't he?
New research this week shows that creative people have, on average, twice as many sexual partners as the rest of the population. The number of sexual partners increases with the seriousness with which they pursue their art, which is why Rolf Harris may still be a virgin.
I was thinking of a woman sitting on Rolf Harris's lap and he's saying, can you guess what it is yet? Cross my mind the way these things do.
At the end of round three, the scores have changed dramatically. Alan and Jeremy have 12 points, but Andy and Andy have leapt dramatically into the lead with 13 points. And before we begin the final round, here's an exciting new product in the Clean Easy catalogue.
Coal paint. Restore the colour of your coals with this matte black paint to leave your fire looking like new. Rejuvenates faded gas coals. Warning: extremely flammable.
Our thanks to Mark Chapman for spotting that. Jeremy, who's tired of pork pies being told about their food?
This is yet another story about towns giving their name to a thing and then other towns making the thing and using it. Melton Mowbray pork pies come from Melton Mowbray. I don't think it's even a town that exists in the popular imagination like Champagne or Cheddar or Leicester or Caerphilly or Pot Noodle. But I've been to Melton Mowbray and you think something's going to happen. You think, this is going to be pork pie heaven. You think, I'll get off the plane and the mayor will just put a pork pie around my head and the streets will be made of pork pie. But apparently there's a big difference between Melton Mowbray pork pies and other pork pies, because other pork pies, the pork is cured, whereas in Melton Mowbray pork pies, it still has swine vesicular disease. Yeah, I know what I'm doing, Alan. I am a comedian. But,
I wonder whether that...
It just takes me a long time because of my stroke. Melton Mowbray wants to copyright the name Melton Mowbray. Doesn't do it for me.
One of the things they were selling it on was that the typical Melton Mowbray pie has got bowed sides and the meat is grey. And you're thinking, is that hardly a selling point? A wonky pie that looks off is hardly something you want, is it? It wasn't just Melton Mowbray who want to keep the pies. Apparently, pies made in Nottingham, Leicester and Northampton, they also want to be called Melton Mowbray pies. Now, you're thinking, well, they're not made in Melton Mowbray. You know, it should be Pie Method Melton Mowbray.
The Melton Mowbray Pork Pie Association has asked the European Commission to protect it from unscrupulous manufacturers of pork pies who are not from the Melton Mowbray area. Local pie makers want their product to have the same regional foods protection enjoyed by Champagne and retain the right to offer still or sparkling pies. Alan, your last question. Which old bald flyer got the bird this week?
It's not the vulture in the wind tunnel.
It is.
That finds itself unable to fly. This has happened in England. This vulture apparently can't learn to fly in England, probably because the dead aren't left outside for it to eat. Must be a bugger if you want lunch and it's got brass handles on it.
Vultures these days. Oh, it's just packaging. It's ridiculous.
I'll tell you one thing about vultures. There's nothing a vulture hates more than a glass eye. So this vulture has now been taken to a wind tunnel, being told how to fly by someone who speaks fluent vulture. And eventually it'll come out of the wind tunnel like a bullet out of a gun and eat dead people.
I've seen a condor, which is a kind of vulture, being taught how to fly. There's a fantastic place down at near Andover called the Hawk Conservancy. And they had a condor called George, who they'd raised in captivity. And he didn't know how to fly. And the problem for condors is that they can't just take off. Because the way they fly is they jump off the side of mountains and then they glide extraordinary distances. And we used to go back there year after year, and they were trying to teach George to fly. And they built a very large sort of ramp for him. So you would go along and you would actually see keepers running along the ramp, flapping their arms with George the Condor sort of watching them, rather bemused.
I'm feeling sorry for the keeper, because they're running up doing that flapping and then they get to the edge. And presumably the condor, he runs up and gets the edge and goes, yeah, you know. I'm sorry for the keeper who's got to chuck himself off to show the condor exactly what the next step is.
Have you ever I've had vultures circling over me as well, which is also an unsettling experience. I was in Africa and we broke down. And to get the vehicle to move, we had to go in. Our guide said, well, go and find some dried elephant dung, which will work as a kind of matting, and put it under the wheels, and then maybe we'll get enough purchase to get out. And it's quite hot work. I don't know if you've ever fetched...
Oh, all the time.
Dried elephant dung in the heat of the African sun. And anyway, so there we were, sort of sticking it under the wheels. And when I looked up, there were four vultures circling over me. And I just thought, oh, thanks a bunch.
I've had that experience when you're on a stretch of rail track maintained by Balfour Beatty.
It's Gollum, the world's most idle vulture, whose owner Steve Eales had to take him to the 150-mile-an-hour Air Kicks wind tunnel in Milton Keynes to try to get him to fly. Within minutes of being brought to the wind tunnel, Gollum was soon frantically flapping his wings in a bid to fly for the very first time. Absolutely anything to get out of Milton Keynes. For 3 years, Gollum has simply sat around doing almost nothing at all. Yes, signing up for that media studies course was the best thing he ever did. Now, let's look at the final scores. Alan and Jeremy have 16 points, but the two Andys clung to their lead and are this week's winners with 17 points. And before we leave you, here's an interesting event recorded in the Wealden Advertiser.
Centre for Riding Excellence. Fun and games on Saturday the 19th of November. Gymkhanas and bottom hole jumping.
With that, goodbye.
Taking part in the news quiz were Andy Hamilton, Andy Parsons, Jeremy Hardy and Alan Corran. The chairman was Simon Hoggart and the news was read by me, Harriet Cass. The chairman's script was written by George Poles, Simon Littlefield, Paul Carenza and Roderick Crooks. And the producer was Adam Bromley.